What's up, friends? I'm your host, Amanda Smith, and welcome to the Girl Gang Podcast, the show where I chat with inspiring women about business, life's challenges, and building community, because we all need it. If you need a girl gang, this podcast is for you. Guys, today I have a fantastic, good friend. You know, when you meet people and you're like, man, they are just good people. She's just good people. That's what we say in the South. I don't know. But I met Liz McVoy a couple of years ago through a program we were in together. And we've just been like kindred spirits, like fast friends. And Liz is a coach. She's amazing at marketing. She's a web and brand designer. And I'm so excited to have her on the podcast today. So welcome, Liz, to the Girl Gang Podcast.
Oh man, it's taken long enough, hasn't it? I'm so glad to be here.
Yay. Oh, it's going to be so fun. So also tell us where you're from.
Oh, right now I'm in the balmy 18 degree Grand Rapids, Michigan weather, Midwest. I always say where it's freezing cold, but the people are warm.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I will say it was 29 degrees when I woke up this morning here. It's cold today. This in yesterday. Oh, it's been really cold, but like nothing else is going on.
Yeah. It's all context, right? Like it'll get 90 degrees this summer and be human. We'll be like, oh, this is awful. When's fall going to be here? And anytime my husband says like, God, it's so hot. I'm like, you shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth. We could live in
you
Texas.
Do not wish this away. Yeah, that's true.
I know. Well, let's get into it. Liz, you're a mom. You're a business owner. You've been in the corporate world. You've done that thing. You've done the switch to make this full time. Let's get into some good stuff. So just really quickly, tell everybody a little bit of who you are and your business.
Yeah, I am a business school dropout.
Love it. Truth.
Business school dropout, switched to film degree because I thought like theater and choir were my loves. And I figured, yeah, I'll learn the other side of the camera. And that launched into an entire career around storytelling and doing that as a video marketer, brand designer, web designer, and corporate. And then I had the audacity, I guess, to say, hey, maybe my talents and time and knowledge and 10 years of experience is worth something and I can make money doing this and be able to call the shots for myself. So I launched a business at 37 weeks pregnant, which at the time was like 6 weeks into the pandemic when we were all still like, yeah, we'll be back out in the world in no time. Fast forward today, I've left my corporate job and been doing this almost a year full time, both Done For You agency and mentoring other women who have beautiful gifts to give in the world and just need to figure out what's the best way to show up and present that.
Yeah. And that's what you're so good at is storytelling, you know? Is talking with people, engaging with people. So 37 weeks pregnant and you're like, let's just do, why not? I don't know. What is it about us? Is that our entrepreneur toxic trait? That's like, oh, what's a little bit more chaos?
Yeah. It was kind of like a, hey, if all odds are stacked against you and you can still do it, then maybe it's meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, I quit teaching in the middle of a pandemic and we bought a house at the same time, which if anybody knows about that process, like that's risky. We really got in.
Yeah, you're like, we better close on this baby before I actually leave my job.
Oh boy. And it was a little sus, but that's fine. But yeah, I don't know. I think
it's anytime you up the ante in life, it's either like you have to commit to it wholeheartedly or I'm not one in big on manifestation or anything like that, but I have seen in my life the things that I've been committed to and driven about, like I've gone and done it versus if I don't think like I can do it, then might as well not even try.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. I think, you know, I was just on Instagram live with a partner that we have, Mary Lyons, and she's a financial planner. And she was talking about her and her husband and how most spouses or partners differ very much so on their views of money and habits and spending and whatever. And she was saying her personality, which is also mine, it sounds like yours, is much more like, I'm going to go with my like what I know I'm good at, what I'm skilled at, a little bit of my like intuition, my gut, if you will. I'm going to make a smart decision, but like, if I think I can do it, I'm going to try and go for it, because there's this kind of mentality of like, why not? And, you know, I'd rather do it than not try at all kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And it helps if you have like your husband so supportive, my husband's supportive. Like yeah. I had you and so many other girls. So yeah. Those listening, I met Amanda when I was 3 weeks postpartum with my son, Isaac. And it was like, all right, we're doing the dang thing. Like I'm on maternity leave. I'm starting this group program. Like this is the beginning. And I would not have had the momentum if it weren't for being with other women that, like I said this about you today, you make room for other people at the table and you believe that there's like something in everybody. And it's just a matter of a game plan and strategy and like trial and error and not being afraid to fail. Yeah. So being in that community with you is what got me to where I am now.
I would say the same thing about being in that spot, because I was like in the middle of just the worst spot in my entire teaching career. I was hating my job. I was teaching during the pandemic. So, I mean, teachers out there, I should not have drank soda before we did this interview. teachers out there, you know, I get it. You know, I feel you. My husband is now a teacher, ironically enough. And I don't think I would have had I would have jumped out into, you know, a small fish in a big pond kind of situation and shrunk back had I not had community and like mm-hmm. actual, and I say community, it's such a buzzword, but like what I mean in this situation is what you're saying is women or other people that I could confide in about what it was really like growing my business and what it was really like quitting my job. Right. And same for you, like what it was like having a baby on your hip during coaching calls. Right. Which that's kind of what I want to get into today is, and that you and I are very like big on, is we want to tell the truth about mm-hmm. what it's like to run a business. And not everything is like aesthetic and sexy. It's just not.
Yeah. And the pressure, there's pressure. You can know that. You can know that truth. And I know we'll get into this.
Yeah.
But, and you can believe like, no, I am enough. And then it still constantly seeps into you because of social media and because of just comparison. And so how do you continually realign, put those blockers up and say like, okay, no, I'm going to trust that how I show up is exactly going to attract whoever needs that. I don't need to be like this other person who maybe is as has the success that I want, but it doesn't mean you have to follow their trail.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's just get into it. So let's start with being a mom. Okay.
Okay.
You're a mom. You're working from home. What's that really like?
Yeah. So, okay. Right now, my daughter just turned 4 at the end of January.
So she's in preschool.
She's in preschool part-time. So 2 half days a week.
Got it.
And my son will be 2 in May. So crazy. He's kind of like that marker. I know. So real talk, my kids are wildly different, just like everybody else who has kids or will have kids. Your kids are going to be wildly different. But my daughter is beautifully complex and wonderful and challenging. And from the get-go, we've also had help with daycare. Like my kids are in daycare when the pandemic was started and we didn't know what was up. And I wanted to be super cautious because I was so close to delivery. We pulled my daughter. And so that was really weird. Like working from home, my husband was home. My daughter was home. Like my mom tried to help. It was like us, my mom and my stepdad were the pod. Like we, right. This is, you know, March, 2020. So fast forwarding to today, like we have, I don't have my kids home with me all of the time, which has allowed me to get work done, but I do what I have now is the beauty to have more time with them. So like after preschool on Wednesdays, I spend time with Nora. We have flexibility, but truth is like, it's really hard when you're trying to figure out how you can raise up kids to be strong and empathetic and smart and independent, to acknowledge their own voice, but to have boundaries. I mean, being a parent is so, it is just so complex. And
yeah.
What I would like to get specific on this, and this isn't something I've shared really publicly. I was open about it a little bit in the fall on Instagram, just because, again, I think it's better to let people in.
Yeah.
But this fall, we just really were struggling with my daughter, and she was having a lot of behavioral issues that were really alarming. And I mean, there was like a couple weeks where I wasn't getting anything done at work. I was just like in tears every day because I didn't know how to help her through it. And it was putting stress on work, stress on marriage, stress on health, like all these things. And you know, where there's stress in one area, it's a domino effect in others. And so now we were able to go get the support that we need, which is great. And things have been really on the up and positive and wonderful, but nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, very few times
you,
it's not common to hear about those things. Mm-hmm. It's not normalized. And if people do talk about it, it's like, oh, but what you didn't see was last year we went through all these issues and, you know, we still ended up on the upside. And I have a problem with that from a marketing perspective and from a integrity perspective, you know, this, but I just think like, if you're a parent and you are struggling, whether it's like, for me, I have a hard time because I like things to be, I don't want to control everybody, but I like to feel like things are in control. And my
world
is
just spinning
out. You
think you're a little more type
A? Oh, 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
100%. So. But yeah, if you are in a season of life, whether it's through kids or just in business, like there, reach out to people. Be honest about it. You'll be amazed at not just the love that you get, but the actual like, hey, this could truly be helpful and change the trajectory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that was a tangent.
No, I mean, I remember when my sister was little, I don't have very good memory. Like before 21 years old, I don't remember a whole lot. Like my memory is terrible. I have like very vivid, sparse things. But I remember like my sister was the middle child and she was fine. I think it was just classic not toddler, but like she was three. She was, you know, three and four. And we all got into shit when we were young like that. But I remember like my parents, and I haven't even seen friends now having kids. And look, I'm sure when we have kids, me plus Zach, someone's going to have a problem. Like someone's going to have some kind of like, tantrum issue. I don't know. We will cross that bridge when we get there and I will hopefully be quote unquote prepared for it. But, you know, I just remember I could see the stress in my mom of what do I do? And especially in the '90s, like, I don't think anybody was really like talking about it and it felt embarrassing and blah, blah. And, but I think now there are a lot of, or more, I should say, women showing behind the scenes of their everyday life with kids, specifically in this like entrepreneur space. Especially when like health issues arise with your kid or like, you know, when a problem and the kid has to go to the hospital or there's this other health issue or like they're working through like an allergic reaction to something, you don't know what it is. And you know, I think there's just a reality to that that people don't see, but that like to your point, like you can find a lot of comfort and just ease in knowing that like you're not the only person going through that.
And for me, it would have been more work and felt very inauthentic to show up as if nothing was wrong. And I get it from, I mean, listen, you know, I'm a brand strategist. I get brand perception. I get all those things. I get the customer experience, but as a solopreneur, you are and a personal brand, you're the face of your business. And even if you own an agency, even if you have a team, if you're showing up as you and it's under your name and your face is the one on stories, like people are connected to you, you are your brand.
Regardless.
And if I had showed up, like nothing was wrong, all was hunky dory, like all these things, it would have been a lie.
Yeah.
Not that I have to like, there's that great quote. It's like show the scars, not the wounds.
Yes. talking about this.
And yeah, Brene Brown like says, share what is vulnerable, not what is intimate.
Yeah.
Which I think are great pieces of advice. Yeah, but we need more of that in this entrepreneur space, because I have felt like, oh man, I've seen two businesses that have done very well. And one woman is on the spectrum of shares everything, is so bold. And that is, she's done really well. And the other is always polished. Perfect. And she does really well. And I'm like, I feel caught in the middle.
Yeah.
And that is like so true for probably a lot of people listening.
Yeah. And I stand there with you. The conversation I had where you brought up that quote, it actually was with a client a few days ago. And she was like, how much is too much to share? Because she's kind of reframing things. And she's also in this space of like body positivity and things like that. So that also like puts you in a whole different possibility of like the light being on you. And so I said, look, and I said exactly what you said, that quote about, you know, you don't have to share the open wound, but, you know, share your scars and like your experience and what could relate to people. And I think about when I'm posting something or I want to share something in my stories or create a video from it or whatever, I think, is this going to be helpful, informational, or entertaining? Or do I have an alternative motive to sharing this? Because sometimes, let's be honest, like our ego is very much involved and we want attention. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's on, you know, trying to look perfect or trying to overshare, either way, that's where I fall. And so, and I think that's actually one thing like Zach has taught me a little bit more, because especially when we were first married, I used to be a big oversharer, and I realized there's still a way to connect with people and be authentic and be whatever without just like airing out your dirty laundry, you know.
Yeah, there's place and time for everything.
Very much so. But I don't know, what are some other things that you've been thinking about lately that could be helpful to people about being authentic and the whole thing of, and we talk about this all the time, but like comparing ourselves to other people that were, I've had to unfollow and mute a lot of people lately, like a lot. And I am 100% okay with it. My therapist and I had a massive conversation about it recently. I don't know. What other thoughts do you have?
Yeah. Share, unfollow, mute or unfollow is huge. I honestly am in this season, and I just posted a sassy reel about this yesterday of like,
sassy. I love it.
Goal. I'm not a goal setter, and you'll never see me really being like, here's how you set your best goals. But what I do know about goal setting is more of like the anti goal setting. I have a personal issue with tying goals to only monetary things. Yeah. So I'm an Enneagram one. And that usually means if you're an Enneagram one, that you are a big planner. There's like black and white, right or wrong, like perfectionist, and things that make you feel horrible. Or it's like letting anybody down.
Like you failed.
Yep. You feel like you failed. And I had an experience last year where I had this big financial goal, which I also want to say, like, I think it's awesome to have big financial goals. Sure. You probably should have them. And as a business, you know, you got to pay attention to those things.
Yeah.
But it was like I blinked and suddenly that was what hinged on whether I felt like I was doing all right or not. And I got midway to the year, wasn't halfway to that goal. I got to Q3 and was like, shit, I had adjusted the goal mid-year because I was like, this isn't realistic. This doesn't feel right, but maybe this number. So my goal, let's be real about it. My goal was $200,000 last year. The original goal I had mapped out was $500,000, which would have been bonkers considering I was working full-time for half of it. You know, you get into the spreadsheets with people and they're like, here's what you could do and map out your entire thing. And I had this like if you are old enough to know VHS tapes, which I know you are, Amanda, but
thank God. I'm not much younger than you, Liz.
Yeah, like, I guess you probably don't have like 12-year-olds listening to this, but
no,
you know, that like we sound like, I just kind of had that moment where I was like, rewind, like reprogram your brain here. You are past the halfway point, but not by a ton, which was still like amazing. But I couldn't see how amazing the things that had happened, the things that God had been doing in my life, the opportunities, because I was so fixed on like, this is what I don't have. And I just had to stop myself and say, what is it that I want to build? Like, what type of business do I want to build?
Yeah.
Long-term. Okay. Yeah. I love the idea of passive income. Mm-hmm. What is actually behind passive income? Like,
what does it actually look like? Yeah.
Hustle, team, building for years to get to the structure. It's like the iceberg. You don't see the 80% below the surface. Yep. And in this season of life, I want to be able to, like, this year, you guys, I did it 3 weeks before we went. I booked us, my husband and me, a 5-day trip to Arizona, just the two of us, one-on-one, 3 weeks notice, definitely not like my planner self. And it was so great. And you know what? If I had built myself this empire where I had a huge team and I'd been like, yeah, peace for 5 days and barely checked in, I probably wouldn't have flown. And so I am readjusting my goals. So the lifestyle I want to live right now. And yes, I would love to have bucos of money someday, but time freedom is huge.
Did you say bucos?
I said bucos.
What is bucos?
Isn't it a thing?
I've never heard that before. Sorry.
Bucos of money.
I don't look it up.
It, maybe like it's like Michigan Urban thing? Dictionary. Is it okay. A Michigan? I don't know. No, Michigan is like about casseroles and saying things like Costco, which my husband says Costco. I'm like, oh man, it's Costco.
Anyway, sorry.
You're good. You're good. So I'll start over here in case you need to cut.
That's okay.
While I would love to make a lot of money right now, what's important to me is time freedom and having my business, giving myself the flexibility and permission to be like, you know what? Q1 happens to be agency heavy and I'm going to run my group program and that's going to be cool. I think in Q2, I want to do my growth week. That would be fun. And then maybe Q3, Q4, I have a rough outline of what I want to do, but it's not all like, I have to do this, then I have to do that. And if I don't get 8 people in this program, well, then it's all shot to hell. Because I don't know. That just doesn't work for me.
No. Yeah. And I think there's a lot going on in the coaching industry, which we can talk mm-hmm. about too here in a minute.
Yeah.
But something I just wrote down that I may do a spinoff of like Instagram lives or something, or like TikTok videos, is what happens like when you don't hit your goal? Like, this is something I've talked to my therapist about a lot recently, is like, kind of like you were saying, like, I was so tied to the outcome, tied to the income, things like that, which again, we need to be aware of those things. You and I both, we quit our jobs. This is how we make money now, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's also still interesting, side note, that people still today, even though I've been doing Dallas Girl Gang for 5 years, still think that we will just do events or something for free. It's just shocking to me. Like, what do you think I'm doing this for? My health? I'm doing it for people, but it's also a business anyway. So that's the question, right? Is like, what happens when you don't hit your goal? How do you react? How do you move forward? That's what I think is missing.
And it's not just the end point. It's not like December 31st, you look at your numbers. It's like every day you're looking to see if you're on track.
Which is too much.
It impacts how you can show up. And then, you know, it's just like talk coaching changes when you know, going into 2021, I mapped out what this past year was supposed to look like. And then the landscape changed.
Yeah.
My needs changed. I was mm-hmm. like truth, grossed out by the industry for a while. I didn't want to be called a coach. I was like, well, what I do is more consulting. I actually have 10 plus years of experience in this, not minimizing people that are self-made at all, but
yeah, but you do.
And it was like this moment where I just felt like, am I just taking people's money? Am I charging like a gross amount? Is this even right? Have I just been blindly following what I've seen done before me? And
we are going to break the internet with this episode.
I hope so, because listen,
I hope like, so too.
It was this moment, and I've been open with my community about this, and I've sent emails saying like, I was spiraling for like a good 8 months because these were the things that I was thinking about. And I was thinking about you sitting in your home, like being panicked that you're not going to make money because if you invest in a coaching program and it's costing you $1,500 a month, how much money do you need to be bringing in for that to fit in your 30% along with your other business expenses? And I was so tied to the outcome that I was giving my clients when I needed to be tied to what I and deliver on what I promise I would. And that's where it ends. But it's so hard to be an empathetic coach and not get so sold out for your clients too. And so I was just in this really weird mind warp, and going into the fall, and then the landscape changed and people weren't biting on programs. And then that also fed the, like, am I actually helping people? And so, yeah, to your point of like, what happens if you don't hit your goal? It's not just at the end, it's the whole time and trying to get to it, and the mind warp that you're like stuck in this loop and nobody talks about it until they're out of it.
Yeah.
Until they're out of it.
Which, and you and I did while we were, when we've been in seasons of like, I guess we would say a scarcity mindset, or, you know, something happened and we're nervous about it, or weird feelings about the coaching industry, things like that.
But yeah, I remember calling you when I was on a run and I was like, I'm going to go on mute so I don't sound like I'm dying, but you just tell me like what's going on.
Yeah. And then I think, first of all, if you're listening and you don't have someone to talk to, like find someone. You know, like I will say for myself, like you can message me and be like, shit, what's happening? You know, I recently had a conversation with a girl, who honestly may never, probably will not ever be my client. That's okay. I don't care. But we had this conversation because she is interested. She loves what I'm doing. She loves my emails and my content. She wants to learn from me, but she has been essentially swindled out of $12,000 in coaching services over the last 2 years.
Oh my goodness.
She is still at square one. Doesn't know her vision, like simple brand strategy, mission state, like, you know, about me page. I think she knows like what she does, right? Let's just pretend that she's a graphic designer. That's not what she does, but she knows she's a graphic designer. She knows she's good at it. That's it. And no
go-to-market strategy. Like that's a real business term, people. Like I love simplicity in the brand and marketing space, but I also think there's a time and place to like, let's bring some industry jargon back in. Your go-to-market strategy is a simple way that you're going to take the service or product that you have and get it in front of your consumer and have them buy it.
Yeah.
And that includes your brand strategy,
right?
Your customer experience,
building brand awareness,
marketing. Yep. All of it. But you have to have a go-to-market strategy. That's insane. 12K. And she still was at square one.
And you know, and what it came down to, because she just needed someone to talk to. And I can't always do that for everybody. Like I would be on my phone all the time, but, I really felt for her and I knew she's not going to be my client. She's not dropping $2,000, $5,000 with me today. She's just not. But that was one of the points, and this was several months ago. That was one of the points where I had one of those moments where I just realized the coaching industry is just, some people have just made it gross. And the reason why those coaches, although here's a, here we say this too, those coaches might actually be really good coaches, but I don't think they are, but they were not aligned for her. Though, you know, maybe they were like a mindset or a such and such or whatever, but she needed something completely different. But whatever that process, that application, that discovery call, they just saw, oh, new client.
Opportunity.
Opportunity. New potential client, right? And like the biggest load of bullshit that I have heard people's experiences from poor coaching experiences is a coach just telling them like, well, let's just like work on your mindset. I think mindset's very important. Also, don't get me wrong there. Like we need to, like for me in therapy, I don't just go to therapy for being a business owner, although I think everyone should, but I happen to bring it up every now and then in my sessions. And so, I mean, there's our thought patterns about the way we think about ourselves trickles into every area of our lives. And so if we don't change those and rewire those things, it can be self-destructive. Mm-hmm. And so yes, mindset and, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, whatever it is appropriate, but there are foundations. There's some business 101 kind of stuff, which is what I love to do, you know? And then there, you know, there's just so much more that people need.
Well, and in the end, there comes a point where you can have confidence to get started, but you have to start seeing fruits of your labor and return on investment. And that's not necessarily just financial gain. That could be clarity. It could be direction. It could be more time back, saved in energy. Maybe it's a financial return, but those things also feed back into a positive mindset because you feel like you're making progress. So I don't care who you are. Yeah. If somebody just tells you like, oh, Liz, if you believe that you'll fill your program and then you go up and you show up and like, you just have to have that belief. But if you don't believe it, I'm like, well, that's not true because I'm responsible for my thoughts and actions, but I'm not responsible for yours, Amanda. And I'm not responsible. Right. So to your point, like if you're out there looking for a coach or looking for a service provider, it's on you to vet what you need, but it is also on them to, you hope that you work with somebody with integrity that would say, hey, I don't think we're a good fit here, or I really think I can help you. And here's why. And here's how I've helped other people like you, not just, yeah, that'd be great. That'll be $10,000. Yeah. Payment plans available.
Yeah. And also this is like a side thing that I don't like is when the payment plan is more than the full cost.
Yes. I have not upcharged for that. And
I used to, I did that a long time ago. There's also mistakes I made. Let's talk about some of those other things. So that, and then, I've talked about this a lot in the last few months, pretending that you have a limited amount of spots left in this program, this course or whatever, or for your whatever, but you, but at the end of the day, if six more people came, you would take them all. I mean, it's just lying. It's lying. And it was really freeing, about, cause I did that like once or twice a couple years ago and it just didn't feel good. And, there's lots that is just weird.
Yep. I think some of those older marketing tactics are, I mean, this is full disclosure. This is part of my copy for my marketing program, but it is that the old way of marketing is dead. It should not be scarcity driven. Yes. Data is important, but I believe in relationship-based marketing.
Yeah.
And I think that the opportunity to serve your audience through the way you market to them is going to buy you more loyalty in the long run, even if it's just having a cheering fan in your crowd rather than a paying customer. But to build your brand on integrity, to have something that leaves a legacy, it's not a matter of how much money you make, but it's a matter of the message that you create.
Yeah. I mapped out some stuff for this year and you know, from year to year, you're like, oh, let's increase the revenue from last year. Let's do. Mm-hmm. And I realized, I was like, actually, if I make like the same amount as last year, A, that's still amazing. Second of all, B, A, second get it together. Of all, tres. No, B, I just want to pay myself more this year, actually. So who gives a shit about, you know, yeah, sure. It'd be super fun to make more and then put a bunch into savings, or like, I would love to invest in a real estate property. I'm dying to do mm-hmm. that. Like, whether it's locally here or a cabin by a lake somewhere, like whatever, that would be fantastic. I would love to do that. Love to create that extra stream of revenue. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, I just want.
Well, and this diversifying. And also, do you want to make the money because you want to do more with it? Or do you want to talk about how you made more money? That's got to stop.
That's got to stop. It's got to stop. Oh, we're getting.
I tell you what, every time I see that, I'm like, unfollow. Yeah.
Also, but how also many
it pushes me to think like, oh, I'm not doing enough.
Or oh,
like,
it's garbage. What?
How are they making? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, also, let me just put this out there. And this may ruffle some feathers, but that's fine. If you still have in your bio that you are you've made $100,000, or you're a six-figure earner or a seven-figure earner or whatever, no one cares. And if they do, that I think that falls into what we talked about in the like fear tactic, because of what you just said. It makes someone feel like, ooh, that's really neat. You know, I want to do that too. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and I did some research on this, just to like in my polls and talking to other people, I asked some people like, do you, when you're looking for a service provider or a coach or whatever, do you ask them how much money they make? And they're like, no. And then, you know, I think there was another question of like, if you see they make X dollars, like if they have it in their bio or something, does that help you make a decision more? And they've, the data was interesting. Like, people have said it's more interesting from the get-go, but then if I see like their website or their process is slow, or like they're not a fit for me personally, like we don't vibe together, I don't like their personality, or, you know, I don't think they have what I need, I'm not going to just book with them because I know they make a lot of money.
It's like this, Amanda. Let's say you drove, what's a really nice car? I don't know cars, but let's say
a
you
Porsche?
Drove like,
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's say you drove a Porsche. And I'm like, ooh, I want a Porsche. So I'm going to go be friends with Amanda, because by being friends with Amanda, I'm going to someday end up with a Porsche. I think that is what happens in the coaching industry.
Yeah.
Is people see, and this is the funny thing, because like I've seen this. Yeah. I've seen this line out there before, and I'm not trying to put anybody down or be negative at all. Like, please don't hear me as being catty, but I've seen people say things like, oh, go work with somebody whose lifestyle is what you want, which that I think makes sense. But then I also see those same people flocking to the same branding, flocking to the same, seven figure earners that are talking about how they've hit seven figures, that are talking about the impact that they've made. And I'm like, you know, you're not going to become them just by learning from them. And I think there's that little bit of warp. It's like, are you going to them because you believe that they can help you come up with a custom strategy for your life, your business, and keep you in check with that? They're not trying to, you cannot, whether you're working with a consultant or coach, which are different, you cannot expect them to get you results. You are responsible for them, but they should know your business and guide you in creating a strategy to support your goals that are realistic for your life and your business.
Yeah.
Because truth be told, I have three seven-figure business owners in my mind right now, and I would not trade my life for theirs.
Yeah.
Partially, none of them have kids. and all of their stuff is beautiful, but I have to remember,
it's not relatable for you.
They're in a different life than me.
Yeah, totally.
And that's not what I want. So I need to, I can celebrate them. I can support them. I know that they're awesome at what they do, but that I don't need to be in close proximity with them because it's throwing me off where I'm being called to go.
Yeah. Man, I was going to say something a second ago and it just
what are your thoughts on that? Like,
so this is where backing up, you said, if you want their life, it's not going to just happen. So I think where, I don't like mean to toot my own horn right here, but I think where I love to come in is, and where I think people should start in some cases is, do you even know what you want yet? Do you actually, like, have you sat with yourself to see, what do I want my life to actually look like? Why the hell did I actually start this business? Or why do I want to start a business? If you want to look a certain way, make a certain amount of money, have a certain lifestyle because someone else does, I'm not your girl. And I don't think you are either. But if you still need help discovering, like, okay, what is it that I want to do? How do I want to be aligned? How do I want to build a brand? What do I want to sell? Or what does bring my personality out? All of those things that needs to be solid. It's like dating. Like, you don't want to jump into a relationship or something if you're not, like, especially if you're, like, you know, going to get married. Like, you don't want to jump into marriage, let's say, until you feel like a fully evolved, informed person. Not fully. Mm-hmm. We are always changing.
No, but it's like, if you don't know who you are, how could you, if you don't love yourself, how can you expect someone to love you?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, the cookie cutter, and this is why I hate, like, all things girl boss, all things boss babe, like, gag me, throwing up, hate it. That's where the cookie cutter glam aesthetic girl boss, boss babe stuff comes from. And it's just people seeing something attractive, chasing a shiny object, and they lose themselves and they don't know who they really are. And they're trying to be
someone brilliant
else.
Marketing, but it's destructive.
Yeah, sure is. Sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think as we are sharing kind of a light on what we've experienced being in the coaching space, you longer than me, but even just sharing it in a way of like, here's, we're not saying like, oh, look at all this ugly stuff, because we don't do that. You know, it's not,
no, I've done it.
That.
I've done some of it.
Mm-hmm. But more sharing what we've learned, sharing things that are important when you're looking for a coach, or maybe you're not looking for a coach. Maybe you're just in a season of business where you're like, okay, for me, I'm in a season where I'm just trying to figure it out on my own right now.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, influenced too much and it threw me off. But I also do believe that there is a time and place where you have to invest in yourself. And again, it needs to be aligned with what your goals are and what you're trying to do. So that may look like investing in a ClickUp setup or something to get your life in order. Or you need that business 101. So you're calling up Amanda going, oh my gosh, I somehow started a business and now I have no structure. Help me.
Somehow this happened.
Yeah. Or maybe you're at that point where you're like, okay, we've been doing this thing for a little bit. I really want that next level. And so you call me or, you know, both of us, we should do something together.
Yeah. Well, so what would you say is your biggest piece of advice when it comes to, like we were saying earlier, that balance of like being authentic and being vulnerable, but not, you know, airing out all the dirty laundry, especially when it comes to, cause like everything is so video based, right? You are obviously huge into video. Like, you produce videos and you're very talented in that. What would be your biggest suggestion?
I think it's a little bit of a segue to get to the answer, but I recently started going to this beautiful organization called The Well, and it's a group of Christian women that gather monthly. And there's a woman that will share a testimony each month. I've only been twice, but I met this lovely woman named Susan, who is probably in her early 60s. And we met for coffee and she was just so sweet. And we just talked about life. And she was like, oh, let me connect with you on Instagram. And sweet. So Susan followed me on Instagram. And now I have in my head the Susan test. If I'm going to post a reel, get on stories, if I have a caption, I ask myself, would Susan see the same person that she met in the coffee shop having a conversation about faith, which is a huge value for me? Would she feel like, yeah, that's Liz, that's the girl I know? And if it would pass the Susan test, then I think it's something I feel comfortable sharing that is aligned with me. And also going back to what you said earlier, what's my motive here in creating this? Is it for entertainment, education, inspiration, just to show personality, or is it for another motive? So I now have, I tell you what, this was a month ago in January, and I was going to post something with a little profanity, which isn't quite on brand for me. Sometimes I swear, but whatever. But I was like, you know what? I can say this a different way because I don't think it would pass the Susan test.
I love that.
Yeah. So maybe picture somebody in your life that knows you and knows your heart. And if they would go online, not that you're creating to impress them or prove anything,
sure.
If they know who you are and they're like your check, I don't know, the Susan test.
I love that. Love the Susan test. And I think that goes, we see that a lot in the influencer creator space as well, because, you know, especially when you're doing a lot of like brand deals. Yeah. You're talking about other products and stuff. So like, how can we like relax a little bit and like be ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have to take on another persona.
Or all of a sudden be like a radio host and read a commercial. Mm-hmm. I mean, we will do that here on the podcast. That's kind of the nature of it, but like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's business. You do what you've got to do, but also it goes down to the intention and your integrity. If it's upheld in the things that you're doing both in front and behind the scenes, then I don't think you have anything to worry about, but
yeah. I love it. Well, I love you so much. And it was so good to have you. Tell people where they can find you. What do you offer? How can they get to know you? All that stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm super pumped about this because after like a couple of years of it being just a big blend, I finally separated my agency with my coaching site, which is like, I was telling a friend about this yesterday. He's like, Liz, that sounds like a lot of work. I'm like, no, it actually has been so freeing because I feel like while I'm the same, again, going back to everything passes the Susan test, but I'm able to be more specific in my language and in my user experience, blah, blah, blah. LizMcVoy.com is my business coaching website. I have so many amazing free resources on there, paid things if you want. The most fun thing is I'm a major Friends fan. You know this, Amanda.
Your so friend's quiz.
I have a Friends quiz to figure out if you are a Ross, Chandler, Phoebe, Monica, or Joey. It will take you 5 minutes or less. And at the end of it, it's not just like, cool, you're Joey, move on, but actually gives you some guidance on the type of brand personality you may have, things to look out for.
Yeah.
So that's a fun way. Instagram, my handle's Liz McVoy. If you need higher level consulting for your business, if you're small to mid-sized business, or if you are needing personal branding and web design, you can head to LizMcVoyCreative.com. That is my agency. So those are the main places. But like you said earlier, Amanda, if people just need somebody to talk to, slide into my DMs. I'm always an open book.
Yeah.
If it's something where I feel like, hey, this is like, maybe we should do an intensive, I'll let you know.
But yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy to be a resource to people.
Yeah. Thing. Well, I adore you and hope I see you at some point this year. Like I want to see you again this year.
Oh, for sure. Next time I go to Austin, I'll call you in advance instead of hey, you're 2 hours from me.
Yes. Call me. It's 4 hours from here.
Oh, is it four? Oh
yeah. But yeah, call me and we may do a little bit of traveling this year. I don't know.
We'll see. Should host, you know, how you were like, oh, maybe I'll just make this thing an in-person thing. We should just host the most killer retreat. Something.
Oh, that would be so fun. And somewhere where it's not going to be hot. If it's like later in the year. Anyway, we could talk. Good.
Stay tuned, y'all.
Stay tuned. Well, Liz, thank you so much. I love you. And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.